Welcome to Portal to Ascension Radio. We are a consciousness-raising organization designed to uplift and empower humanity and pave the way so we may usher in a new reality of unity and harmony for all inhabitants on Earth. Our mission is to awaken, inform, educate, and inspire remembrance through exploring deeply esoteric topics, the true and forgotten history of our planet, and our connection to the cosmos. For paradigm-shifting awareness, tune into our YouTube channel at Portal to Ascension. On Portal to Ascension Radio, we feature speaker interviews and presentations featured on our website. Sign up at portaltoascension.org for access to hundreds of hours of our next dimensional content. Now, let's get into today's discussion.
Hello, my presentation for this Lemurian conference with Portal to Ascension is entitled Ancient Lemuria, New Earth, 13 Questions for the Nine. So just as the title suggests, I have asked the white-winged collective consciousness of nine, the guidance system that I communicate with, 13 questions about Lemuria. So I have 45 minutes. So I'm going to begin my presentation with the first question. Okay, my first question is, what did we as a humanity or a human form look like as we moved within this overlap time from Hyperborea into Lemuria? Now, I asked them this question because they have spoken to me about these different time periods, these different civilizations, these different epochs, and one we know of as Hyperborea, and then we move to Lemuria. And these questions are all about that epoch, Lemuria, for this conference with Portal to Ascension. So this was the question I asked them, and this is their reply. This overlap time period you speak of lasted many billions of your Earth years in linear time. In truth, time at this point was not linear, and your Earth was in a blueprinted phase, shall we say, playing out multiple probabilities for the formation of your physical reality platform, you know, as planet Earth. Individualized consciousness was at this time still at group level. You, as a planetary consciousness, were a social memory complex known to you as the Avatar Mind or advanced extraterrestrials or indeed ascended masters. Pinpointing the move from Hyperborea into Lemuria would be subjective depending on the remote viewer or the one who accesses their memories. But we could pinpoint this as the moment individuality began. This is the moment when, at group consciousness level, the group mind or social memory complex births itself into multiple holographic projections of itself, which are then each given free will. This was at the level of consciousness, and it was many more millions of your Earth years before a body as such could be perceived for each individualized consciousness. This would be that which we would call early Lemuria. The first presentations that could be seen would be as the wisp, the cloud, gas or smoke, eventually taking on more and more form. Multiple bodies would be available as the individualized consciousness chose to express itself until eventually the consciousness chose one form. The closest presentation to a physical form that you know of or that you would recognize would be that of a pliable substance forming in response to the will of the individual consciousness. This would be as a type of what you may know as ectoplasm, as the pliable structure akin to that you know as amoeba, eventually moving closer and closer to that which you know as the human template. There were many forms chosen at that time, but we reference your question as you ask, what did you look like? So I'm going to go through each question and answer before I do a bit more analysis, but I am assuming that the answer to that question is we would look like this ectoplasm, amoeba, substance that is pliable. And that there were many bodies, and we eventually then chose which form to take, and that became more and more physical. Okay, so the second question I asked them, what exactly marked the beginning of Lemuria? And this is what they said. In the early Lemurian stages of development, there was an intertwining, a oneness with the plant kingdom. The human animal plant DNA structures as templates were unified. When the time came for the separation and individualization of the human animal plant consciousness templates, we could pinpoint this as the beginning of a more structured Lemuria. Yet in truth, there was no beginning point, for the environment, an externalized aspect of the individual creational consciousness, was at one with the guardianship of the planetary structures birthing. This remained such and is such to your current day, yet it has not been recognized or understood. The individual group structures as hosts for DNA templates marked the beginning of Lemuria in a linear sense. So I take the answer to that question to be what marked the beginning of Lemuria? In truth, there was no beginning, but if we're looking in a linear sense, then it's when the individual group structures, animal, human, and plant, as hosts for DNA, marked the beginning of Lemuria. So when they became individualized, as opposed to a unified structure that is human, animal, plant as one, when they branched into these three structures, that was the beginning of Lemuria in a linear sense. Okay, the next question, question three that I asked them. Is in the later stages of Lemurian development, when we were just becoming more physical, what were we like and what was life like then? And this is their reply. At the early forming, the physical template presented itself as the one surrounded by the amniotic fluid, at one with the ocean of life. The ocean sustained life for many, many years, and the tail, once formed, remained for many, many years, for it branched off from the evolution of the sea plants, becoming part of the developing form. Only once the breath of the air was taken, assisted by the winged ones from other dimensional states, did the early Lemurian humans and animals begin to sustain upon the land? Life at this point was as the creation, mirroring the creator, living in harmonious unity with that which was desired and the creation of that desire. So I went on to ask them, when you say assisted by the winged ones from other dimensional states, do you mean elemental beings? Or are you talking about extraterrestrial assistance or interference from other planets? And this was their reply. The elemental kingdom was a different evolutionary line to the human. This was a presentation of consciousness that did not separate itself from the plant or animal kingdom. We indeed speak of what you may call extraterrestrial, or indeed so too, angelic. This would be seen as assistance or interference, depending on perspective and interpretation. Yes, when we say other dimensional states, we speak of what you know as other planets. So the answers to these two questions, in the later stages of Lemurian development, when we were just becoming more physical, what were we like? Well, we were surrounded by some kind of fluid, the ocean of life, sustained for many years by this fluid, this ocean. We had a tail which branched away from sea plant evolution and became part of a developing form, I presume human form. So we have here this mermaid type of presentation. And what was life like then? I asked them. Life at this point was as the creation mirroring the creator, harmonious unity, oneness, and that which was desired and the creation of that desire. So absolute harmony, absolute bliss, and oneness. Is the response to those questions. And the next question, winged ones from other dimensional states, they're not talking about elemental beings, which was a different evolutionary line. And the elemental being evolution did not separate itself from the plant or animal kingdom. So the elemental line remained with the template of the plant and animal kingdom. It was the human line that broke away from that. So this winged ones from other dimensional states, extraterrestrial or angelic, came forward with some kind of assistance or interference, depending on perspective. And yes, other dimensional states are the same thing as other planets. That's what the nine are saying. So I will look at this a little bit later if I have time to be able to do a bit more analysis, but I'll go through the questions because we're on question five and I have asked them 13 questions. So, question five: how can knowing about this epoch, Lemuria, help us now in our current existence in 2024? And the nine replied, "This knowing assists you so you may understand the cycle or sine wave of reality presentation within matter. For that which you come from, so too do you return to." So I'll repeat that. For that which you come from, so too do you return to. So the next question that I asked them was, are you saying that we exist within a cycle and we are moving back to Lemuria? So this is their reply. Indeed, we are saying this, yes. Although with each return point on the cycle, the new probability template shifts and changes in accordance with the level of expansion and light body construction that has taken place within the penultimate phase. So I'll look at this again a little bit later when I've been through the questions, if I have time for analysis. Okay, question seven. Is this the same Lemuria as before that we return back to, or is this a totally new Lemuria? And this is their response. It is both. Yet this will be an individualized experience depending on level of expansion and light body construction. Choice points will be offered. For some, you return to a totally new epoch. Yet for others, the new Lemurian phase moves as a continuation of the epoch before. In the first instance, nothing is known. All is new as the newborn baby comes into existence with the slate wiped clean. The land is at its earliest formation, waiting for the imprints from the newly formed guardians. In the second instance, all that has been learned and all that is known is carried with you. It remains with you. The land holds its mysteries and secrets as before. Imagine, if you will, your computer system as analogy. The first is the wipe of the hard drive and the clean install. The second is a new upgraded system, taking with you all your files from the previous version. So the answer to the question, is this the same Lemuria as before that we return to, or a totally new Lemuria? The answer's both, depending on whether you move back to this completely new beginning, or whether you take everything that you are and continue onwards into a new development, but remaining holding what you already have or already know, and the land doing the same thing. Depending on level of expansion and light body construction, choice points will be offered. And the nine have spoken to me about this before. So, what they're saying here is, we will be given opportunities to make a choice as to which aspect of Lemuria we go to, back to a new beginning, or carry on as we are, holding our memories and our knowing into something new, but staying as we are also. So, two new beginnings in different ways. That was question seven. So we're on to question eight. And question eight is there an actual physical place on our Earth that is Lemuria, or that holds physical remnants of it? So this is the nine's reply to this. All your world holds remnants of all previous epochs. Yet there are places within which the Lemurian is embedded in a more profound way. There is a place where much Lemurian energy and templates remain. This is the land you know as Hawaii. Lemurian catalysts are to be found in your domain of Egypt. Lemurian artifacts and structures are to be found upon your island of Crete. Keys to Lemurian consciousness are to be found in the green areas of Australia. Memories of Lemuria can be accessed also by walking the lands of the Celtic roses in your domains of Ireland and Scotland. Songs and dances that catalyze Lemurian memory can be found within the traditional movements and sounds of the domain you know as Spain. The indigenous peoples carry the codes within them for the return to Lemuria wherever they are located. So that was the nine's reply to question eight. Okay, question nine. Mermaids of Mu. Is this a metaphor? Is it literal, or is it both? That was my question. And the nine replied, it is both. As we have said, the early physical forms existed within waters and the ocean. These we call water dwellers, and the first human-like forms evolved from this presentation. And they would look much like your depictions of mermaids you know of in your today. They have been held within humanity's subconscious memories since Lemurian times and carried forward through multiple incarnations. So the answer to the question, mermaids of Mu, literal or metaphor, both. Okay, question 10. How can we know if we lived a life as a mermaid of Mu? And the nine replied, and their reply is, all is known about the self and the journey of the self, the experience of the self, When the cellular memory cascade is catalyzed, you will know because you will know. The how is simply the knowing, which is unexplainable to those who do not hold the knowing. So I will look at that again in a little bit more depth after I have finished responding to the questions with the nine's replies, and I'm conscious of our time. Okay, so question 11. Blue people or rainbow people? Were these peoples a breakaway community from the original Lemuria? So the nine have spoken to me before about blue people and rainbow people in Lemuria, so I wanted to know a bit more about that, and this is their reply. These physical beings were not a breakaway society, but were the original beings coming into physicality in early Lemuria. When you speak of blue or rainbow people, it is their frequency that you reference. Holding the non-physical, non-linear blueprint as these early individualizations of the group soul consciousness descended into matter. They held etheric genetic codices for human life form types and races within their etheric makeup. They held the gemstone and diamond light templates, holding crystalline matrix patterning for amethyst, ruby, blue sapphire, emerald, aquamarine, and many, many more. These codices held frequency, translated into musical note and simultaneously color tone. These souls could be seen, known, and felt in a frequency sense. Your memories hold this knowing, and you would remember these souls, and indeed your own Lemurian soul self, as blue or rainbow colored. Yet we say again, this was frequency, not color, as you may perceive it in the third dimension. So the answer to that question, were they a breakaway community from the original Lemuria, these blue people or rainbow people? No, this was the Lemurian individuals. They were known as blue people or rainbow people because they held a frequency, and it was that frequency is translated into sound or color. And the color translation, as we would perceive it in the third dimension, would be blue or rainbow colored. I believe that's what the nine are saying here. Okay, question 12. Regarding the elemental aspect of Lemuria, what percentage of the Lemurians would be classed as elemental? And this is their reply. The evolutionary lines broke off into a 50-50 split. Yet, due to the elemental consciousness needing the human consciousness to exist in matter, the percentages dwindled along with the memories within humanity and the DNA template reduction. So, what the nine are saying here is originally this was a 50-50 split, 50% elemental, 50% moving into human. But the elemental consciousness needed the human consciousness to exist in matter. The percentages thus dwindled along with the memories within humanity and their DNA template reduction. So, as humanity became more and more dense, more and more physical, and lost the memories of that unification, and the DNA template moved from that higher 12 strand formation or 144,000 quantum strand formation as it moved down into the double helix, and those memories were no longer at the consciousness state, then the percentages of elementals dwindled within, looking at the question regarding the elemental aspect of Lemuria. So over time, the elemental consciousness dwindled as it needs human consciousness in order to exist in matter, which suggests here that the elemental consciousness continued to exist in antimatter and couldn't sustain in matter, which I have actually spoken about before, because if you look around us, we don't see physical elemental beings. Many of us can sense them and know them and communicate with them, and they are coming back into our consciousness, let's say, but we don't see them in the way that we see other humans. So that's the reason why they need the human consciousness to hold that awareness in order for them to then be experienced by the human. That's what I feel the nine are saying. Okay, so this is the final question. Will we return to this state? Is this absolutely set in the timelines? And so I'm asking here, is this a definite that we are going to return to Lemuria? Is this set? Is this an absolute? Because when we're dealing with etheric worlds and situations that have not yet come about in the physical realm, we're dealing with the unknown. So I'm asking, is this set in the timelines? Is this an absolute? Will we return to this Lemurian state? And this is the nine's reply. It is set in the timelines that you will return either to an entire new beginning of reality itself, which will present as a new Lemuria, or a continuation of your current reality, which will evolve into a new Lemuria. The choice is yours to take. The journey. Sorry, it says here, the choice is yours to make. The journey is yours to take. We are the white-winged collective consciousness of nine. So again, they are referencing these two ways of moving into this new beginning, new Lemuria, new epoch state. One is this completely new restart where we are as the newborn baby, the slate is wiped clean, there's a clean install, the hard drive is wiped, that kind of thing, or a continuation of your current reality, holding everything we already have, keeping all those memories, those computer files, and taking them with us. Choice points will be given for these two evolutionary pathways. The choice is yours to make, and the journey is yours to take. So that's the 13 questions. So let me just have a look at some of these concepts that the nine are bringing forward in a little bit more depth. So the first thing I wanted to look at is when we talk about the Lemurian phase, the period, the time period that is Lemuria, or the epoch, we're actually talking about our own creation, our descent from the heaven realms, antimatter realities, into Earth, into matter, this birth of our third dimensional construct. So that's what I feel the Lemurian phase or the Lemurian epoch is. And so if we're going back to that, Lemurian epoch, either as a continuation or as a complete and utter rebirth, then we are going back the other way. And we are no longer descending from the heaven realms, antimatter realities into Earth, into matter. We are going from matter, from Earth, into the antimatter states, heaven realms. So we're moving the other way. That's what I am taking from this information from the nine, that this is what is happening. Okay, so in the first question, they mentioned the phrase, they mentioned the word blueprinted phase. So to give some context there again, look at that first response. In truth, time at this point was not linear, and your earth was in a blueprinted phase, shall we say. So, what is a blueprinted phase? So, I take this to mean that creation was still underway, meaning that the world and reality and the beings incarnating were not physical. They were still being created from the original blueprint, the blueprint for creation, the blueprint for the human template. And that blueprint was not set or may not be set at that point that we're talking about. From what the nine are saying, I feel that they are showing us that this blueprint is still fluid. So, what that means is we had a hand in our own creation. We could even go so far as to say we created our own creation. We didn't just have a hand in it, we were creating our own selves with a creator and the creation itself. So, if Earth was in a blueprinted phase back then these blueprints were fluid, as in creation was still taking place. The creativity was taking place. We were, as the creators, multiple or individual, depending on the phase of consciousness. And the creation itself had not yet come about. So, Lemuria. That's why I say Lemuria, the Lemurian phase, is our actual creation itself. The nine said then, playing out multiple probabilities for the formation of your physical reality platform, you know, as planet Earth. So there were multiple probabilities as to how Earth could be, or how the human template could be, or how the plant kingdom would express itself, or the animal kingdom would express itself, or how the elemental kingdom would express itself. Multiple different probabilities within that overall creational template before that was set, and then the creation began to come into a physical form. So when we talk about Lemuria, is so much more than a place or a state of consciousness or a time period of or an epoch. Lemuria is creation. Lemuria is our actual creation, where we are creating ourselves and our creational experience. So I would imagine that there are great meanings in the word Lemuria itself, for it to be the word to explain creation. I haven't looked into that, but that is what I'm feeling. They said, assisted by the winged ones from other dimensional states. So they're talking about these winged ones from other dimensional states. So I asked them, when people say extraterrestrials seeded us, or when people say extraterrestrials created us, or extraterrestrials infiltrated part of our development, is it that they're talking about this prior to the development of individualized consciousness? That the collective unified social memory complex that we were, that is the extraterrestrial. That is the ET races. That is the angelic. And the nine confirmed that that was correct. So you hear people all the time say that extraterrestrials seeded us, they created us, they infiltrated us, they interfered with our development. But all of that is true, but it's a metaphor to explain Lemuria, the Lemurian consciousness, which is creation. The unified social memory complex that then became individualized as a pre-matter template and then became physical, that's cosmic evolution, if you will. So to say extraterrestrials created us, seeded us, or infiltrated us is a metaphor for that. It isn't incorrect. But it doesn't really give an accurate picture because what we're really talking about is creation that we had a hand in, that we were part of in our angelic form. So we're almost at the 45 minutes, but I would just like to also just have a look at a little bit more analysis. I felt the first body that we held at that time. was a perception of a body before we actually had a physical body. So that perception of a body, that thought of having a body, perceiving we had a body when we didn't, that perception created a blueprint for the form that we would then become as we moved into denser and denser realities and then became physical. So as these structures individualize, human, animal, plant, and then the elemental that remained with the animal and plant, each would have had this perception of a unified group soul body, and then come into an individualized perception of a body. And that is what created the physical template for that, and then the physical actual body. The Nine also mentioned that what we were like, or what the Lemurians were like then, was as the wisp. Not a word I would use that often. So I wanted to ask them the meaning of the wisp. But I didn't really get anything more other than this image of a wisp. So I looked up the meaning of the wisp on dictionary.com, and this is what it says there. Wisps are ancient mysterious spirits of nature that once resided within ether and are the disembodied spirits of the deceased that have become one with nature, though their minds and the way they perceive things is very different from life. So that's dictionary.com's definition of the wisp. Well, ancient mysterious spirits of nature kind of makes sense with everything the Nine are saying about the unification with the plant kingdom that once resided within the ether, the antimatter realms, disembodied spirits of the deceased. So they're disembodied because they haven't got their physical form yet, deceased because they're not living. So this is a very third dimensional way of presenting what a wisp is, but it's true, but in a very sort of basic way. And their minds and the way they perceive things is very different from life, which is everything the Nine are saying. I also felt that the beginning of Lemuria was at the point that hosts for DNA became individual groups, such as human, animal, or plant, rather than there being no distinction between them. So that's when Lemuria started. That's when creation started, even though creation is an ongoing thing and Lemuria has no beginning and everything is always infinite and there is no time. Looking at it in a linear sense, creation, Lemuria, is when the hosts for DNA, human, animal, or plant, became individual rather than unified. The Nine also said, surrounded by amniotic fluid, at one with the ocean of life. I'll make this my last analysis because I realize we're now at the 45 minutes. I wanted to clarify with the Nine, are they actually talking about an amniotic type of fluid or an actual ocean as we would know it, like the sea on our planet? What do they mean by this amniotic fluid, this water that sustained life? Can the Nine comment on that a little bit more? And what they said was, the best way we can describe this is to say this was antimatter, a nurturing gel-like fluid where creational template begins to take form, then becoming actual water, as in seas, rivers, and bodies of water, at first as the hot springs within steam, then cooling, containing the blueprints of life as DNA codices, quantum DNA packages, as source-encoded life, cooling alongside the hot spring, and as the coded structure cools, it takes life. So that was their response. We are almost up at 45 minutes, so I'll just bring forward one more comment from the Nine. I wanted to clarify more about the winged ones, the first moment of life in Lemuria. So I asked the Nine, how did the winged ones from other dimensional states assist the early Lemurians to take their first breath of air? Because that's what the Nine said. These winged ones assisted early Lemurians to take their first breath of air, and they replied, "This is most complex to impart to your physical incarnated aspect. Let us just say that the winged ones from which we speak projected forth their own unique light encoded rays upon the newly developing Lemurian souls, giving them codes from civilizations or social memory complexes that had already taken the journey, just as you shall do. Those of you that retain your memories shall give to the new incoming forms in the new epoch. So those that had held their memories and their knowings imparted that to the newly formed ones who were like newborn babies and didn't have their memories through some kind of light transmission projected forth." So, that was more of a response to that question, but that obviously opens up more questions. But we are at the 45-minute point here for my presentation. So I really hope that you've enjoyed what the nine have had to say here and the questions that I asked them. And I would just like to say thank you so much for listening. And I'm so happy to be part of this Lemurian conference for Portal to Ascension today. So thank you. Thank you ever so much. Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Portal to Ascension Radio. Be sure to check out all the amazing gatherings we have listed on portaltoascension.org that are designed to assist in a collective consciousness shift. Each one of you that signs up gets access to hours of free content. You may also explore our YouTube channel and Instagram at Portal to Ascension. We are the ones that we have been waiting for. And this is the moment for us to realize the potential we all have and begin to create harmony on planet Earth.